Morning, everyone. As Tom said, my name's David Bass, and with Nicola, I have the joy of leading Life Vineyard Church. And if this is your first time with us, again, sorry for the slight delay. It's still all a little bit new to us, this whole technology stuff. But we're thrilled that you're with us and tuned in and stuck in. If you are with us for the first time, please feel free to join the One Church Zoom call. It really is for everyone, so come along. And join in with that. And also, if you're listening maybe in the week or even today, if you're watching us live, then join a life group in the week as well. You will be so welcome to come and get involved in community in that way. How good was the news about the vaccine this week? I was listening to the radio, kind of in awe and wonder at what has happened. And this guy was telling us about how they managed to do it so quickly. So it turns out it normally takes years to get funding, that it normally takes years to actually get enough volunteers to actually test the vaccine. And both of those things have happened within weeks, if not months. And so now kind of we've got this incredible vaccine and just blown away. It's amazing what human beings can do when everyone has a shared goal and they go after it. It's just quite amazing. And so now we pray, don't we? We pray for the logistics of seeing this vaccine go around the globe, protecting the most vulnerable. And we pray, and I'd encourage you to pray, for all of those things, and that actually this vaccine would really protect those that are most at risk from this horrible virus. So amazing. And we hope, don't we, and we are praying that this is the light at the end of the tunnel. And I started last week to begin to dream about when we can all gather together again and worship Jesus in our gathered environments. So, today, I want to end our series on favour. I've really enjoyed teaching over the last couple of Sundays and really enjoyed Caroline's talk on favour 3 weeks ago. And if you've missed any, then I'd really encourage you to catch up on our podcast. You can have a listen on there. And also all of other past talks, particularly over this last season, you can find on there. But the questions we've looked at in this series on favour, we've looked at three questions. Firstly, how do we receive the favour of God? Secondly, how do we follow the favour of God? And then thirdly, how do we release favour across our region? And over the last couple of weeks, we particularly focused on the first two questions, but by kind of just the nature of it, we've touched a lot on also question three. So today I do want to look at releasing favour, but I mostly want to think about the church. You know, we've talked a lot about kind of what we do. We've talked about how we receive and release favour. We've looked at how we need to follow the favour of God and how we can bless others by doing so. We've looked at this favour equation, kind of intimacy with God, surrender to his ways, receiving favour, you know, being a person who moves in the direction of God. You know, we've looked at that. If you like, we've looked at community activity, what we do together to serve others. We've looked at the personal responsibility, what we need to do to be a person who receives and releases favour. But what I want to talk about today is how do we build a church community that receives, stewards, and releases favour? One of the hardest and probably the most impactful aspects of this pandemic is that it has robbed us of our physical community. After the initial burst of enthusiasm around Zoom, I haven't really met anyone who thinks that it is an adequate replacement for being with people in the same place. I really do want to encourage you to stick in. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, as I said, and so stay in community, stick in with Zoom. It's the best thing that we have at the moment, so stick in, come and join us after the service. But we can't replace easily those interactions we have when we're in the same place together. You know, the praying for each other, the laughing together, even the hugs, the physical contact. Just a note though, David, that's me, the introvert, gets a little awkward around people giving him hugs. A bit like a statue, I do go. Don't take it personally. But even I am looking forward to giving people a couple of hugs, to being together on that first Sunday when we can come without restrictions and worship the living God. I love the phrase, family with a purpose. that's used to describe the vineyard. We are a family with an eternal purpose. And over the last couple of months, I have spent a lot of time reflecting on what it means to be a church family. What does Jesus ask of us as an expression of his bride? And in the absence of being together, the busyness of being a multi-site church, a multi-community church, with all of the organization and planning that goes into pulling off three Sunday services simultaneously in three locations. You know, I've been thinking about the kind of church Nicola and I have vision for. The kind of church family that we're called to be. The kind of church family we are, but are commanded to be even more. The kind of church that creates an atmosphere of favor, that stewards and releases favor across this region. You know, I love amazing worship services. That is a big part of just gathering and worship and honoring God. But it's not actually, I don't think, the answer to being a church that stewards and releases favor. You see, I think the key to being a church like that, that overflows in the favor of God, is actually our culture. What kind of culture are we building here? What kind of culture releases favor? And the conclusion I've come to, if you like, I've returned to, is that it's a culture of honor. It's a culture of honor that creates an atmosphere of favor in a church family. So today, I want to look at a culture of honor. What does it look like? What does it feel like? How does a culture of honor steward and release favor? So let's quickly pray, and then I'm going to launch into that. So Father God, I thank you so much that you are a God who loves to release your favor upon your church. And so as we kind of grapple in this final talk with what it looks like to be a culture of honor, to steward your favor in our culture, Lord, would you bless us? Would you fill us with your spirit? Would you challenge us? And would you help us to be a people of honor? Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to start by reminding ourselves of what honor is, particularly scripturally what honor is. I was reading, doing some research on this, and I came across a quote on a website called Bible Study Tools by a guy called Sam Hamstra Jr. And I read it, and I thought, I don't know whether I can actually put this any better myself, so I'm going to quote. It's quite a long quote, but hopefully it will be helpful. So here we go. Honor is a social term describing how people within society evaluate one another. Most occurrences of honor in the Old Testament are translations of some form of kabod, I think is how you pronounce it, while in the New Testament they are derivatives of timeo. These terms are generally used with reference to the honor granted fellow human beings, though in some cases they are used to describe the honor a person grants God. The root of kabod literally means heavy or weighty. The figurative meaning, however, is far more common. To give weight to someone, to honor someone, then is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. A person grants honor most frequently on the basis of position, status, or even wealth, but it can and should also be granted on the basis of character. While honor is an internal attitude of respect, courtesy, and reverence, it should be accompanied by appropriate attention or even obedience. Honor without such action is incomplete. It is lip service. Isaiah 29:13 says this. The Lord says, "These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." God the Father, for example, is honored when people do the thing that please him. 1 Corinthians 6:20. "You are bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies." Parents are honored through the obedience of their children. The source of all honor is God on the basis of his position as sovereign creator and of his character as loving father. God the Father has bestowed honor on his son, Jesus Christ, we read in John 5:23. He bestowed honor on humanity by creating man a little lower than the angels. Romans 8:5-6. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. He also created spheres of authority within human government, the church and the home. The positions of authority in those spheres are to receive honor implicitly. The granting of honor to others is an essential experience in the believer's life. Christians are to bestow honor on those for whom honor is due. The believer is to honor God, for he is the sovereign head of the universe and his character is unsurpassed. The believer is to honor those in positions of earthly authority, such as government authorities, Romans 13:1-7. Masters, or I'm going to expand that out to employers, because thankfully we don't have masters in the same way. You know, 1 Timothy 6:1. Parents, Exodus 20:12. As a participant in the church, the believer is also called to honor Jesus Christ, the head of the church, John 5:23. Fellow believers, Romans 12:10. And widows, 1 Timothy 5:3. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, Romans 12:10. So who should we give honor to? We are to honor God. This is, of course, obvious, isn't it? You know, it, if so often, really challenging. However, let King David describe why God is worthy of all honor. Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. God is king forever. He is to be worshipped and glorified. We are to ascribe, assign to God all splendor and majesty. To truly build a culture of honor, it has to flow from an understanding of the greatness of God and a life that honors him fully. Now, if we can't honor God with our lives, if we can't obey his commands and spend time with him, how are we ever going to really honor our fellow humans that were made by God in his image? The start of a culture of honor is the honor and worship of God. So firstly, we need to honor God. Secondly, we are to honor leaders. You know, one of the highest values in servant leadership. That's one of our highest values in the Vineyard. We follow the model of Jesus. So Philippians 2:6-8. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And yet, we read in John 5:22-23, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. You know, this is a dichotomy, isn't it? You know, we have, on one hand, Jesus, who is worthy of all honor, and yet he makes himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Does this diminish the right to honor? No, of course not. You know, you could argue it actually makes him more honorable, if that were even possible. So what about leaders in churches? What about pastors? You know, over the years, I've never taught on this aspect of honor. You know, I've always felt slight, and I do feel a little bit uncomfortable teaching on it today. It feels a little self-seeking. You know, Nicola and I have been called to lead this church, and that is honor enough for us. However, as I was writing this talk, I felt that little nudge of the Holy Spirit to unpack this a little and to talk about Hebrews 13:17. So I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, for they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. so it will benefit you when you make their work a pleasure and not a heavy burden. Now, when Nicola and I planted Life Vineyard Church in 2006, I don't think anything would have prepared us for the weight of responsibility. Now, we were called by God, and not follow his calling would be complete disobedience. And yet the burden of leading a church is at times pretty heavy and overwhelming. You know, we find ourselves in this deeply challenging place of knowing the weight of calling, of the calling to be obedient, lead Life Vineyard Church, and also the burden of leading. It's such a tension. We could not and would not ever want to walk away. You know, how could we? We couldn't do it. We love God too much. We love you lot too much. And we love this region too much. However, it is hard. And the last 8 months have been hugely challenging. And I know that's true for all of us. For Nicola and I, for Jeff Caroline, for Tom and Laura, among others, you know, we've not only had to navigate family life, been doing our jobs in the middle of a pandemic like all of us, we've also carried the burden of the church for all of you. How are you doing? You know, are you staying engaged? Are you feeling supported? Could we do more? Should we be doing more? Are people still growing in their faith? Are people sticking in with Jesus? And then there are the questions, what is God saying to us in this season? What is he teaching us? How does he want us to change? How does he want us to grow? What is he doing? How do we lead in a season, in a pandemic like this, unprecedented? And then, you know, the next thing is, how do we lead out of a pandemic into hopefully what feels a little bit like more like normality? So much responsibility. And we know that God will ultimately hold us accountable for how we lead. You know, Nicola and I have both been teachers in very challenging and very stressful schools. However, it doesn't come close to the weight of responsibility of leading a church. You know, you can change schools. You can even leave teaching. You can never leave your calling and all that God has asked you to do, even when it gets unbearably hard. Frank, who is one of our amazing trustees, and I have been chatting and communicating about how Nicola and I help to get family, work, church balance right. You know, it's been tough in this season. And as only Frank can, in his gentle and loving manner, he just reminded us that our call is our call. And it requires every part of us. And that's not to say we shouldn't seek a balanced life. It's just to say that if God tells you to do something, however hard, however challenging, you have to do it. In a way, that's the promise we all make when we first come to Jesus and we say we're going to turn from our old life and follow. And that's following every step of the way, in every part of life, every time God calls us to follow, however difficult or challenging that is. It's part of what I spoke about last week. To follow the favor, we have to be willing to follow. The writer to the Hebrew tells us that we should obey, in other translations, have confidence in, respect leaders, that we should honor our spiritual leaders. Why? Because they keep watch over our souls. I mean, just let the weight of that sink in. The responsibility of spiritual leaders, church leaders, is to watch over the church's souls. What a responsibility. And we have amazing leaders in this church. The last leaders meeting, I think we had over 70 people on the call, all taking responsibility, all caring for your souls, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, but serving you and this church family. Now, we are told to honor leaders, whether that is senior pastors, assistant pastors, life group leaders, worship leaders, kids and youth leaders, media team leaders, PA, you know, whatever role, as the church family, sorry, just get my sentence correct. As the church family, as individuals, we need to honor and recognize that they, by serving in this way, are honoring you. But we, of course, hold this in balance. We do believe in the model Jesus set of servant leadership. As Jesus said in Luke 14, it's not good to presume honor. We are to be servants, but we are to also give honor to our leaders. Not just lip service, as we read in Isaiah 29:13, because that's not honor at all. So I just thought I would share one thing you could do to honor Nicola and I and the rest of the leaders in this church. One simple thing, and that's pray for us. Pray for us. I know many of you do, but knowing people are praying for us makes a huge difference and is an honorable act and helps us to carry the burden of looking after people's souls. So we are to honor God, we are to honor leaders, and we're also to honor each other. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. A culture of honor is a church where everyone gives and receives honor. That no matter where we meet or what we are doing, everything is seasoned with honor. I've used this analogy before about the bring and share lunch. You know, every month in normal times, and I look forward again to when we can do this again, we would bring food to share. And we would then eat together. You know, we'd place it on a table and we would share it. So, you know, I might bring some bread. Jeff might bring the ham. Tom might bring the butter. Laura might bring the crisps. And we'd all have a ham sandwich and crisps because we'd all brought our part and placed it on the table. Sometimes life gets a bit manic, doesn't it? You know, we have really difficult weeks. And we turn up and we realize we haven't brought anything. And a culture of honor says, that's absolutely fine. Come and share what we have brought. We recognize you've had a really manic week. And then another week, maybe it's been an easy week. Maybe you've even had some days off. And well, we make a massive batch of chili, don't we? And then we bring that. And we say, look, we brought loads. You just tuck in. And that for me is a culture of honor. We all bring what we have, and we place it on the altar as an act of worship, as an act of honoring others above ourselves. You know, a fully realized culture of honor is a church where everyone brings what they have. They bring their time, they bring their energy, they bring their money. And that might be out of lack, if you like, the equivalent to 2 copper coins, whether that's because we're really busy, whether that's because financially it's challenging. You know, it could be out of plenty. A culture of honor looks like a church where everyone serves each other, where everyone gives, you know, tithes, where everyone prioritizes each other, loves one another, thinks the best in one another. A church where if one is hurting, we all hurt. Where if one is celebrating, we all celebrate. Where one of us is in need, well, others go off and sell possessions to meet that need. If you read that in Acts 2. A church that goes out of their way for each other. A church that speaks kindly and overflows with encouragement. You know, imagine that. A church family where everyone brings what they have and puts it on the bring and share table. This season is a reset moment in so many ways. We have a culture of honor here at Life Vineyard Church. It has always been part of our DNA. Just look at the pantry. Look at Tim, who set up PA, 17 hours just setting it up. The other Tim, who was taking photos of people in Biker yesterday, and so many more examples I could give of people giving others honor. However, there's so much more to a culture of honor. So many more ways we can show honor to each other. You know, we are a body made up of many parts. And if one part doesn't bring what it has, the body is incomplete. I haven't written this in my talk, but I'm going to say it. You know, if you don't come and join in with Zooms, or if you, you know, the body is lacking because you have unique things that you bring and that you offer to each other. You know, everyone has a unique place. in the church, unique things to bring. My hope and my prayer is that we'll discover new levels of honor here at Life Vineyard Church, and that when a new person turns up, they'll be surrounded by honor. Now, what does this have to do with releasing favor? Well, let me really quickly just whip through this. As I read earlier, the source of honor is God. You know, and as we spend time with Jesus, spend time with the Father, as we continually are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be a person who understands honor and personifies honor. If we obey the commands of God, if we really do worship him with all of our hearts, minds, and strength, then we will be giving God all the honor we can muster. If we are a people who give honor to God, and if in our relationship with Jesus we learn what it looks like to be a people of honor, wow, that's a church God will pour out his favor upon. If we honor God and honor others, then we will be a people who release favor everywhere we go. Over the years, I have been involved in various homeless ministries. On numerous occasions, I have spoken to men and women who have been urinated on by people as they've been sleeping in doorways. You know, I can't imagine anything more dishonoring than having someone do that to another human being. And then you see the Life on the Streets team come, kneel, pour out a hot drink, give a sandwich, treat each person with love, respect, dignity, and honor. They are Jesus to these men and women. That's a culture of honor compared to a culture of utter disgrace. Now, I'm sure none of us would dishonor another human being made in the image of God in this way. But honor takes effort. Honor takes effort. It takes packing the bags, wrapping the sandwiches, filling the flasks, inconveniencing yourself, and heading out to serve those the world would urinate on. Honor is a verb, not a noun. It is an action. It is a doing word. We are to actively give honor in every possible way. You know, if we grow in honor, if we step further into a culture of honor, it will flow into every part of life. As we honor God and honor others, the favor of God will be released in so many ways all across our region. Honor is a kingdom currency. How can we love people fully if we do not honor them? I don't think there has ever been a more important time to demonstrate and give honor than in a pandemic that has driven us apart physically. So easy, isn't it, just to forget, to get into our own little worlds. So I want to finish this series on favor with a call to build an even more radical culture of honor and to be a people who practically honor in every possible way. There is so much more favor that God wants to release, to pour out on our lives, church family, and across this region. So we need to grow in our relationship with God. We need to obey his commands. We need to see where the Father is at work and join in. We need to follow. Dan, do you want to join us? We need to follow the favor. And we need people who personify honor. We need to be a church that lives out a radical culture of honor in everything we do and wherever and whenever we meet together. You know, as we step into these things, God will release his favor abundantly. Let's pray, and then we're going to worship. Of course, we're running a little bit late today, so the Zoom call will start, but don't worry if you join it a few minutes late after the service finishes. Father God, I thank you so much for all that you've taught us about favor and for what you've taught us about honor today. I thank you that your scriptures, your word is so clear, that we need to be people of honor, people who practice and give honor, but also be a people who are open to receiving favor and receiving honor too. So Lord, as we go into a time of worship, would you speak to us about being a person of honor? Would you show us how we can be even more radical in our giving of honor to others? And Lord, would you release your favor upon us as individuals, on our families, on this church, and across this region. Amen. Shall we worship?